Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. We're going to be talking about elders taking action on our climate crisis with my guest, Leslie Wharton. She is currently chair of Elders Climate Action, which is a project of Elders Action Network. She has been a senior counsel with the Office of the General Counsel of the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, and she has been a partner and senior counsel with Arnold and Porter. And she has been a member of many different environmental nonprofit organizations working on various climate change and environmental issues. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are focusing on getting seniors to take more action, but isn't it really seniors who have been speaking out about the need to deal with climate change for decades?
There are seniors. There are elder people, the Jim Hansons, the others who made the signal that climate change was coming from their professional roles. But actually, the elder generation, going back decades, they're working, they're raising their children, they're busy, they get home from the office in time to eat a late dinner, go to sleep, get up the next day and work. They haven't had the time and energy. And then those who have retired in their late 60s or so, they have been given the vision of retirement as an extended vacation, making up for all that time they worked so hard. So starting after World War II, we invented this notion that you would retire and you would play golf or pinochle or something. And so really getting the elder generation, and when I say elder, 55, 60 plus, but we have members in their 80s, even early 90s, getting them engaged to step up and take action on climate change, even from the comfort of their chairs. It's a revolutionary action, and it is moving.
But isn't it important to have the younger generation working with elders who have experience and knowledge, because they're the ones who are going to inherit this horrible destruction that we have left on the planet?
You're absolutely correct. We in Elders Climate Action work closely with youth and support youth groups like the Sunrise Movement, Zero Hour, many of our local groups. Our Northern California chapter is right now planning a gathering, I think it will be in April, that will be with youth. Now, the youth, they're looking at a unconscionable future, something they can't predict. They are seriously suffering from emotional and mental distress. So we elders, yes, we bring experience, we bring background, we bring perhaps more free time, and we have to work with them and support them, yes.
Is the focus of action on lifestyle changes, trying to get people to live a more sustainable, ecologically sound life? Or is it trying to get the legislatures, the politicians, to pass laws that would be geared to getting the changes necessary, such as supporting renewable energies, such as having mass transit, such as not destroying our wildlife and wild areas that we need for airsheds and watersheds and just generally need something other than concrete cities?
A very good question. The short answer is both and. Elders Climate Action is focused primarily on outreach to our federal government, the legislatures. We've put in like 49,000 petitions to the EPA, had people testify in regulatory hearings on things like the clean truck rules and other environmentally necessary transformations in how we energize our lives. We work at the state level. I know a number of our chapters have worked very hard with collaborations with other groups to get state laws passed that will move them to far reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 20, 30, 40, and so on. We have chapters and folks who work at the local level, at cities and counties, and even in their communities. I know I'm on the energy work group in my condominium complex. We're looking at getting solar on the condominium roofs and increasing the insulation and other things like that. There is the personal. And the wonderful intersection is the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed in 2022, because that provides tax incentives and, as they're issued by the regulatory agencies, cash rebates for energy efficiency. Getting a heat pump, you can get up to $7,500 to help install a heat pump to replace a gas-fired furnace, and other kinds of putting solar, getting an electric vehicle, getting electric vehicle charging. So a lot of that, it has an enormous market influence. The personal choices are not enough, but together, personal choices can send signals to industry to change.
We certainly have to take personal action and action working together as a society. I know I just recently changed all my light bulbs to LED, and I was surprised how many light fixtures I had in my house. And that's going to bring down not just the electrical bill, but going to use less energy. It's just one little aspect of our life. We're constantly having to make changes, whether or not it's composting, whether or not it's taking transit, whether or not it's buying organic items and having healthier lifestyle. Tackling climate change is so complicated because there are so many different levels. Tell me about two or three current actions that you want people to take now.
One action is the Environmental Protection Agency has a lot of regulations that are very important to tackling climate change. So we are focused on that. And another thing I think is the Inflation Reduction Act, which has been passed. But again, it's getting states and then getting individuals and getting businesses to tap into the monies and incentives provided so that not only are those actions reducing greenhouse gas emissions and increasing energy efficiency, but as I said before, they're sending this market signal to the fossil fuel industry, the natural gas producers, everyone to say, guess what? The world's turning under your feet and, you know, your share prices are going to plummet if you don't start changing. Three, it is the collaboration. It's reaching out to the youth. It's reaching out to other groups. It's making sure that communication is open, that information is shared, and that we really can move forward arm in arm and get the messages to all of the decision makers who need to participate at all levels of government and society.
You're focused in the United States. Are you expanding to the over 200 other countries in the world?
We are focused on the United States because we have, one, very little funding. We have one staff person plus one part-timer. And because so much needs to be done in the United States, and the United States is one of the leading greenhouse gas emitters and world powers, can be an enormous example to the rest of the world. But we do collaborate and work with groups who are outside the United States. I participate in monthly meetings of Our Kids Climate, which is an international group headquartered out of the United Kingdom. We are part of the U.S. Climate Action Network, which has an entire international wing.
Do you ever run into climate change deniers, or do you believe that most people now accept the scientific results that we are changing the climate and having disastrous effects because of that?
The survey statistics these days show that climate deniers are in a sharp minimum, and that you have more people who are concerned, aware, even upset about it.
You obtained two doctorates, and as a lawyer, you have been involved in the court system. How effective is it to use the courts as opposed to the legislature, or as opposed to trying to get companies to change their practices?
That's a very complex issue, and I do not want to dive into it literally from the lawyer's perspective, or you'll never get to the end of my brief. The point is, the courts enforce the law. If there isn't a law, there's nothing for them to enforce. Now, right now, there are a number of actions that have been brought in different states where the state constitution includes a provision for a healthy environment. The attempt is to use that provision to say, if you're spewing pollutants into the air with your fossil fuel burning and causing climate change that is harming our environment, then you're violating our constitution. And there are a number of those lawsuits going forward. There's also talk of, and there are actions filed against fossil fuel companies like Exxon, where we have documentation to show that they had a long historic knowledge of the climate change and other negative impacts of their industry, but they hid that and continued to go forward.
Recently, some young people went to court saying they have a right to a clean, healthy environment.
Yes.
They won.
They did. That was one of those constitutional cases I was referring to. There are several others that have been filed. Now, they won that on a constitutional principle.
When we talk about the need to do something, to not have the climate change in such a drastic way that it's threatening our very life support system, we also have to look at individual areas, and we have massive species distinction. And I know you grew up on a farm near Philadelphia, even though you're living in Maryland near Washington, D.C., and you love to play in the fields and the wooded areas. These animals and nature, it's so important to get people out there to appreciate the need to preserve and protect and save them. And yet, even with laws like the Endangered Species Act, we are seeing species go extinct every day.
We are, and yes, I grew up where I lived in nature. The turtles and the ribbon snakes were my best friends. I still feel that way. I think that part of it is that people need to be more aware that their lives depend on the intersection of all of these species, that we are part of a network. Species can't evolve fast enough to keep up with a rising temperature, increased drought, increased flooding, all of the other impacts of climate change.
You have been involved with various environmental organizations, nonprofit groups, and there have been major ones that have been around for decades, especially since the Earth Day in 1970. And yet you have chosen to work with a relatively new group that's been around for only about 10 years. Why did you believe that it was necessary to have another group instead of getting more action among those that have been active for so long?
That's a great question, and the answer is partly a little complicated. I am currently involved in quite a few climate organizations, primarily because they're all collaborating and working together. So I'm a member of Sierra Club and League of Conservation Voters and others, even though my primary footprint is in Elders Climate Action. For all of those years when I was a lawyer, I was part of no environmental group. I was working 24/7 in an office representing clients and dealing with crises and emergencies. So it was not until I moved from private practice into a more 40-hour week in a government agency that I could look up and start sort of having a little bit of free time. It was in 2015 that I learned about Elders Climate Action. It was having a in-person conference in Washington, D.C., and I decided to go and participate. I have a history of being kind of a loner introvert. This was a scary thing for me, but I signed up, I went, and it was a revelation, and I got involved. And I have been very involved in Elders Climate Action ever since. I'm now retired, so I give it more of my time. What we realize is it's not one organization. It is hundreds, thousands of organizations working together, bringing their voices together, sharing, having the areas of expertise or emphasis, but then the other ones who don't have the time or the resources to focus on that emphasis can join in. Collaboration is the way.
Collaboration is so important, and you are certainly a model for others to take action and to be active to try and make our Earth a better place for all. How do people find out more?
People should go to our website, ElderClimateAction.org. And Elders Climate Action is one word. You can join us, no fee, and then you can learn a lot more.
I'd like to thank you so very much for your efforts, and thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you so much for reaching out to me. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. I wish you the best.
Thank you. I have been speaking with Leslie Wharton, who is chair of Elders Climate Action, a project of Elders Action Network. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.